message about the weather, but I also want to give credit to Mickey. Good to see Mickey here. He gave me the weather forecast. He said there would be a storm, he told me, and it's happening. It's happening. Mickey, you were right, and good to see Mickey here. He was here for watch night service. He's here Sunday morning, way up. He lives in Carbondale, and he's here tonight. Amen. How did he get here tonight, Matt? You had him with you? That's awesome. Brother Matt, doing a faithful bus captain. I tell you what, we have a great team here of faithful workers. Thank God for that. Amen. All right, we are in 2 Peter. Please take your Bible. We're going back to these expository sermons in 2 Peter. And I remember when I was in Bible college, my methodical Bible study teacher, we studied Robert Trana's book and Aletta Wall's book on methodical Bible study. And my teacher said to us, always be working on a book of the Bible. Always be working on a book. And so as we're going through, this is a book study. You can read it repeatedly and study along with us. Tonight we are looking at another message in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this one is entitled, Why Your Pastor Should Keep Reminding You of These Things. And I like to have the men help me out. When we say these things, I know this is kind of cold, but perhaps one of the men can tell me, where are these things that we keep referring to in the book of 2 Peter? Where are they found? One of the men help me. But as you're thinking about that, remember that the overall theme of 2 Peter, and we've looked at the outline, is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're doing that, you will have a productive life. And Peter is very concerned, listen to me, that we are growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are growing and some people are regressing. And it's possible to regress, and it is possible to grow in grace and in knowledge. And really, though we have salvation by grace, in 2 Peter 1, remember we talked about that, verses 3 and 4, it's all of grace. Even our faith is a gift of God. It's all of grace. But you get to verse 5, and Peter says, we need to give what? That's another question. I'll ask that right now. What do we need to give beside what God has given us? He's given us everything we need for life and godliness and to grow and to be thriving like our theme is. What do we need to add? Verse 5.
Diligence.
Yeah, you need to add diligence. And I said to you the problem with so many Christians and why they're backslidden, why they're not strong, and so many churches is just simple, they're lazy dogs. Lazy. And we should not be like that when it comes to the great gift of God's grace that has been given to us. He says giving not just diligence, but giving what? All diligence. And then it gives you these things that we need to use our faith to do. Remember we talked about I lift weights, and I talked about back muscles and lifting. I still lifted. I lifted this week, did my leg lifts and bicycles. Listen, what are these things that he's referring to? Where are these things found if we're going to thrive and grow in grace and knowledge? Joe, go ahead.
I take a guess and say the things that we're reading, the things that we're studying.
Yeah, that's right. The things that we're studying that are certain virtues that need to be supplied through faith so that you can grow. He's right. Does anybody know where those virtues are found? A key section in 2 Peter.
Chapter 1, 3 through 8.
Five through 7 are where they're really found. And you know what? I don't even have to look at my scripture. You can look at yours. But I don't have to look at mine. You say, why don't you have to look at yours? Because our first pastor, Dr. Charles Weir, preached on these things. Amen? And I have them in my mind. I've studied them. And I am established in them. And I have found out that anything where you grow, whether it's how to have a godly marriage, how to raise kids, Bible, God's way, how to be a soul winner and a Great Commission Christian, on and on. Any truth from the Bible that is written in your life, and by the way, it's no good unless it's actually experientially written into your life. But any one of these truths, if it's going to come in your life, is going to come via this progression of add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherliness, and brotherliness, charity or love. It's going to come that way. And you keep on going through these things in different areas of your life. And either you're doing these things and growing in grace and knowledge and productive, or you're not doing these things. That's why these things in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 that I just told you, they are vital for you to grow in grace and the experiential knowledge. And so God's grace will help you to do these things. Supply your faith. Use your faith to stir up virtue in your life. What's virtue? It's a energy, a moral energy for moral excellence. It's a desire for you to have the Word of God living in your life, and you have that strong desire that the Holy Spirit is putting there, and your faith can stir that up because you lay hold of your position in Christ and you yield yourself to God, and He stirs up in you a desire to keep growing and going higher and being more like Christ, which is like the moral law of God. By the way, I get sick and tired of these antinomian, quote-unquote, fundamentalist defectors that don't have any standards and keep putting down standards as though it's legalism. And I've known some of these guys. They've been under my ministry. They ought to know better.
Yeah.
They're on Facebook, and I'm like, get out of there. You're just full of, you know what, dung. That's a biblical word. And so I'm just saying that God's standards for living the life are in Malachi 3. I am the Lord, I change not. The moral law of God reflects the changeless character of God. And you find it in the Old Testament and in the New. We're not under the Mosaic law as a whole system, but we are under the moral law that comes out of the character of God. And the Holy Spirit of God, when you're saved, will stir up in you a moral energy to follow the standards of the moral law of God. And that's like Christ. That will make you like Christ. He that teaches these things, even the least of them, will be great in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. He that ignores these standards will be least. I don't care what they try to tell you, they're going to be least. I've taken my stand. I'm a fundamentalist in that sense. But I have reasons for it. I study my Bible. I'm not just a mindless fundamentalist. I know why. And so what I'm saying to you is that you need to lay hold by faith of moral excellence and an energy in your life to be morally excellent. And then you need to not just leave it there, you need to work that out. Like the Bible says, work out your salvation. And what do you need to add to that moral excellence? What's the next word? Anybody know that one just by heart? Or you can look it up. One of the men tell me. We're just going to remember, because these things are such a key. It's not just enough, listen to me, to have a desire to grow, to have a desire to follow the will of God morally, excellently. It's not just enough to have that desire. You have to have what that adds to that? Brother Matt?
Have
epigenosko.
Epigenosko, not oida. Epigenosko. What is that? Experiential knowledge of what the Word of God says. So that means you need to do what? Well, certainly the preacher needs to do this. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman. Hard work. Those that labor in the word and doctrine, worthy of double honor. Study. Why is that important? Because you need to get that word of God out there so people are not spiritual ignoramuses with just great desires that go to the altar again and again, but they don't know what God wants.
Come on,
knowledge. Not just go to a conference and get stirred up, but knowledge. In your life of the Word of God. These things. That's how you grow. And you then add to that knowledge a very important word. And the next word, and I'm repeating this again, is the word what? Matt? The moderator. Temperance. Let your moderation be known to all men. The moderator, that means if a moderator's moderating a meeting and he says to somebody that's speaking, okay, thank you for your contribution, sit down now. We have somebody else. You have a control. And you as a new man, listen to me, in Jesus Christ will not be able to grow in knowledge unless you can say no to your bodily desires. The sin that's working in your mortal body, the flesh. You as a new man in Christ, you know, it's not just let go and let God. God will deal with that. I have my position in Christ and I just believe in that and I let go and let God. No, you need to come from your position in Christ, but you need to get clean and then get filled with the Holy Spirit and through the Spirit shut down the flesh and fly above it. And that's where temperance comes in, where you keep your body under your spiritual goals. You're not going to grow in knowledge and in grace if you don't do that. And that is called temperance. And then you add to your knowledge temperance and to your temperance, what's the next word? Somebody else? What is it?
Patience.
Hupomone. The ability to remain under, to stay with it, not to give up on it. Eric, good to see you, my friend. I talked to Eric. I knew he was going to come, and I'm glad to see him with Marilla. We've been praying for the family. Amen and amen. Yeah, pray for the family. Wonderful. Eric, good to see you, buddy. And so you add to your control and telling the flesh no, this thing called perseverance, patience. That means you stay with it. Now you may fall, but you get right back up and get back in the fight. Amen? Patience doesn't mean you'll never fall, but it means you get right back up and get back at it. And you stick with it. And those are the saints that really grow to get to know God and get to know Him very deeply and know God's ways. Patience. And then add to your patience godliness. And what is godliness? Godliness is, boy, God is worth it. Getting to know God. Getting to say no to my flesh and yes to God is worth it. And I was talking to a saint the other day about so many young ladies that are pregnant, they don't have husbands. So many marriages that broke up because somebody went after the lust of the flesh. And they grabbed the gusto and now they're holding dirt in their hand and it's just a mess. And when you wait on God and you stay with God and you do it God's way and you don't get pressured by the lust of the flesh and by what people, then God becomes worth it to you. You really see God come through for you. And perhaps you've had somebody, they don't agree with you. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They don't agree with you. They don't value God like you do. Well, let me tell you, you can't go with that person. Or you can't stay with that person. Can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. So, you're better to go your own way and start making new friends and get godly. And when you do that, that adds to your godliness. What's the next word? One of the men tell me, goes along with what I'm talking about, new friends. What do you add to your godliness? And these things need to be in you. Yeah.
Brotherly kindness.
Brotherly kindness. And what does that mean? The knowledge you have of God, now you can share that with others. And you want to help others grow. I know my wife, when she has a ladies' meeting, she always has something she wants to give the ladies to help them grow and to be more godly ladies, as we have that ladies' meeting tomorrow at 6:30. So with godliness comes brotherliness. Brotherliness is sharing. Like I talked to Eric, and he was talking to his brother Reuben. And Reuben was helpful to him. And vice versa, no doubt. And Wilson. And you know what? It needs to be not just you're my bro, but we're helping one another with God, to walk with God. And that's what it's all about. And I was talking to Jordan, right, Jordan, today, and I said, that's a valuable friendship with Isaac, because Isaac initially led you to the Lord, right, I believe, and so forth, and led a friend of yours to the Lord we talked about today, and so forth and so on. And Isaac and it will help him to grow. That brother, I had that with Dr. Ware. But then you got to go beyond that, or otherwise it'll be ingrown. It'll just be you and your brothers in Christ, and you know you're sharing this. But you got to add to that charity, which is agape. That is, people that don't have that, you reach out to them, and you go out beyond your. And some churches don't do that. They don't have soul winning. They don't reach out to the Wilkes-Barre group there, but this church does. We go beyond into love. And that's how that truth grows even more, because you share it and you grow as you give. And so Peter, now he's writing to these people that he loves, and he's saying these things, the things I'm telling you, they need to be in your life. They need to be abounding in your life. And we've already talked about these things, but I'm just referring back to them because this chapter is full of these things, and they will help you, Brother Steve, amen, to grow experientially, so you'll know a lot about God and be able to help others. And then we also talked about, that was in 5 through 7, we also talked about in 8 through 11, 2 Peter chapter 1, the rewards of using your diligence to make sure these things are in your life. There are certain rewards for that. And we looked at that in 8 through 11. Notice in chapter 8 it says, for if these things, the things of 5 through 7 we just gave, be in you and abound, they make you, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we had Reuben's funeral. And I preached a message. I said, if Reuben were here, I believe he'd want you to hear this. And we talked about a fig tree and somebody taking a shovel to the roots of that fig tree and digging it, and how painful that would be. And then taking fertilizer, which was dung, you know, cow manure, and fertilizing the roots of that tree. Why? Because the tree was not producing fruit. And I said, it stinks to lose a loved one. There's nothing more difficult than what Brother Joe and Cynthia went through and what Noel and Marilla and their family have just gone through. But in the Lord's sight, it's precious because one of his loved ones is with him. But I said, even though it stinks like fertilizer, God can, the way you can honor Reuben's life is to bear fruit this year. And what do I mean by bear fruit? I mean the fruit of getting to know God, getting closer to God, and being more productive for the Lord while you're here and you have this time here. And that can make what God did by taking Reuben home mean so much more this year. And And I believe, and that's something I'm praying for in the lives of those around Reuben, the lives of those that honored his memory at the funeral, the lives of those in the family that are mourning and grieving over him, that at the same time, while they have this pain, that God would use that, like this fig tree that the Bible says was to be dug around and fertilized, that would bring more fruit. And that's what this is talking about, how you could be more fruitful in getting to know the Lord better and better, and following these things that 2 Peter is counseling you to follow and that we've been talking about. I'll give this back to you and take it when I need it. But that's what he's saying there in verses 8 through 11. And that's your reward. Now notice what it says in verse 9. We've already been over this. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now when it's saying that he that lacketh these things, lacketh what? The things we're talking about. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brother. He that lacketh these things is blind. Is this, one of the men tell me, is this talking about somebody that can't see at all? He's totally blind. Joe?
No, he's talking about being spiritually blind.
Right, exactly. He's talking about a believer who has light, who is saved, who has the Holy Spirit, who has a new nature, but he's can't see clearly. It's like seeing through that window. You can see light, but you can't see things. And you can't really see things afar off because you're living your life so much for your own food and work and money and friends, and but you don't see spiritual goals. You're not laying hold of what God's will is for your life. And so you're blind in that sense that you're not seeing clearly. And that's what it's talking about, that you're blind in that sense and cannot see afar off. And it says, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In other words, you're going back into the old way of living, the old habits. You've forgotten the new way that you had when you got saved, and that's because you're not going forward with the Lord like we've been talking about with these things. And he says in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In other words, make sure that your salvation, that you're assured that you're really a child of God, that you're really saved. Because if you lack these things, you're going to have all kind of doubts in your life about the reality of God and your salvation. And then he says in verse 11 that by doing these things, when you die or when Jesus comes back, you're going to have great rewards in his kingdom. And his kingdom is Jesus is going to rule over this world. We talked about Donald Trump as the president, and Putin is over Russia, and Xi Jinping is over China. But guess who's going to rule over these things? I put in to be the mayor of Scranton. Amen. But I'm just saying, that's real. What I'm talking about is real. We are going to be given positions of rulership in his kingdom when he comes back. Everything's going to change. The rulers now, they're not going to be in power. They're being given to God's people. The meek shall inherit the earth. But if you're not growing and you're not productive, you're not going to get a great place in his kingdom to rule. You say, I don't care just so I'm in heaven. You'll care because it honors God. It honors God when your life realizes its potential. There are Christians, you're not living up to your potential. And I want to see you live up to your potential. And if I want to see it, how much more does the Lord want to see it? He wants it. And Peter, the apostle, as a pastor, he wants to say, and that's what a pastor is always doing, trying to get you to live up to your potential, to realize the hope of your calling. What calling are you talking about? Jesus calling you as his elect to salvation, that you live up to your potential. And so that's what we've been talking about, and you will have those rewards. Now, along that line, I want to look at something new tonight And we're already running out of time, but we'll try to get into it a little bit at least. But I just felt like I needed to review a little bit. And tonight I want to preach on why your pastor should keep reminding you of these things that I've been reminding you about tonight. And I have three things to give you, but I don't know whether I'm going to get through all of them because we're going to be out of time. But the first one is, because to fail to remind you is negligence on your pastor's part. Do you think there are some pastors that are negligent? Oh, absolutely. You know, there are some pastors, I don't know why they collect much bigger paychecks than I do. They have a lot of money, but they're not working. I mean, they preach about one message a week. And even that, they're not really digging into the Word of God. They have a lot of entertainment. They have a lot of... Listen, you should not be in a church like that.
Right.
You need to get in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, soul-winning church like this. I'm just saying. And I'm not the only one. There are these kind of churches, and thank God for them. And we go to conferences of great men of God. But I'm just saying that to fail to remind you of the kind of things that we're talking about is pastoral negligence. Look at 2 Peter 1:12. I'll read it. And it says there, wherefore I will not be... What's that next word, class? What's that next word?
Negligent.
What's that next word?
Negligent.
Yeah, it's not negligé, it's negligent. I will not be negligent. That's what he's saying in verse number 12. To put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. I will not be negligent. You know what? Our first pastor, Pastor Charles Ware, you can see his picture as you're going out here. He was my best friend in college. And we were together for 7 years in this church and in school. And it was a great time. And you know what? He was not negligent. He preached these things. He taught these things. And he stirred me up to study these things for myself and get into these things. And he did other truths of the Word of God. Because, listen to me, because he studied, because he loved the Word of God, because he was faithful as a pastor to be prepared so when we got in church, we got something from being in church. We didn't just sit there and like, well, I don't know what's going on. No, we got something. And now I have made these things my own, and I've gotten into them, and looked into the Word of God, and held the things that were true. And now I can share them with you. Because he was not negligent, I've not been negligent. I've not been lazy. You know, there are lazy preachers. I think they're great at golf. They're great at this and that. And I'm not saying golf is wrong. We could play golf. Pastor Snyder and I were talking the other night. He plays a little golf. I play a little golf. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's just to kind of refresh you, to get you back in what you're doing. Amen? But we need to be working at these things and not be negligent. And so thank God our first pastor was not negligent. And God has stirred me up not to be negligent. And by the way, that's why you need to be in the church and under a pastor that believes the old King James Bible. I wouldn't give you a toot for a pastor. We talked about this, Eric, and you agree with me here. We wouldn't give you a toot for a pastor that doesn't have an every word Bible as his final authority. The King James Bible. I won't listen to men of God like that. I won't get in their churches. I don't care if they're good friends of mine and they say, come on out. I don't do it. Because they're clouded in the cabezas. And to interpret that Spanish word, they're a little fuzzy in the head, right? You need to have the right Bible. and a pastor needs to be in that Bible. And so not to be negligent means the and the Bible says in Revelation 1 through 3, listen to me, every church has an angel. Ann's church has an angel. Pioneer Baptist Church. You know who the angel in your church is, Ann? I won't have a lady talk in the message, but because the men helped me preach. So who do you think the angel is, Matt, in Ann's church? Pastor Donald Snyder. He's a man that believes the King James Bible. He believes in soul winning. He's a good man. He's the angel of that church. He told me the message that he was going to preach this morning. I already knew what it was, about the Levites being in the middle of the church. And he had a message on that. And I said, amen. I said, let me get a pen out. Now I got to get my message from you now. And I was joking with him because I had my message that I got. But if the pastor is the angel, what's an angel? He's a messenger. Well, what's a messenger? He's somebody with God's message for you. Now, he doesn't have to be the smartest man in the world or the greatest teacher in the world or whatever, but he just has to be the one that God has chosen to deliver the message for the whole church. And that means you need to be here. You know, you got people downstairs in ministry. I tell these people, you need to listen to the message when you're not here because it helps you. It helps the whole church. It's important. And if the man of God will take the time to get the message that you need, and it's hard work to get that message, if he'll do that, then you need to take the time to listen to it. And I mentioned this morning, Brother Eddie Brent was out with me Thursday night, and he says, Pastor, he said, I get into the reading. I read the morning and the afternoon and the evening reading that our church is doing. I even read your devotional for every day. It helps me. He said, then I listen to messages on the church app. And Mindy does a work on that. And Eddie said, I get on there and I listen to messages. And you know what? That will help you. Plus, I get out to church now. Brother Eddie used to miss services. Where's Brother Eddie tonight? He used to miss service, but he's been here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. And I know what got him to go. My wife, she said, Brother Eddie, you need to be in church every message. You need to be here. You know what? Three to thrive. Amen. So don't be negligent. Don't be negligent. You need that three or thrive, four or more to win the war. What do we mean by four or more? Well, three to thrive, you take in Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. Take in from the man of God. And that isn't even enough. Listen to those messages again. Take those Sunday school lessons. Go over them. Or whatever it takes for you, listen to me, to get strong. Don't be negligent. You say, well, I've been saved a while. That's right. You're going to stop right where you are. You're not going to grow anymore. Don't be negligent. Don't think you've arrived. I haven't arrived. I am working hard to study this book. And I'm still working on a book. And I could say, well, I'm old enough now. I'll just coast. No, I give you new messages, Brother Steve. Fresh. Study it. Some preachers, they get to my point, they say, I got it all, I don't need any more. I told Brother Snyder, I said, what are you, 67? I said, just remember Bloom, I'm 75 and still going, brother. Don't tell me you're going to relax. Stay with it. I'm just saying to you, don't be negligent. I'm not going to be negligent, but don't you be negligent. You be here Wednesday night. You be here Sunday morning. You be here Sunday evening. You say, Pastor, why are you pushing me to do that? Because I want you to get your full reward. I want you to honor Reuben's memory. I want you to bear fruit for God. That's on my heart. And we don't want to neglect our part. Because to fail to remind you of these things on my part is pastoral laziness and negligence. I don't want to be there. I'm not in this for the money. I'm not in this for the fame. I'm not in this for a comfortable lifestyle. I'm in this for God's will. And I want to see a team that is a winning team. Brother Bob, we want to keep winning and winning and winning. We want to win so much we're sick of winning. I like what Jordan said. Jordan's here. You were here last year, Jordan. Is this thing going further than it was last year and higher? Yeah, we're going higher and further. And if he was away another year and he comes back, he should see more going on. And I'm just saying, because to fail to remind you is pastoral negligence. Number two, because the opportunities of pastoring are temporary. Look at verse 13, 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Yea, I think it meet or suitable, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." As long as I'm in this tabernacle. Do you know what? Life is very temporary. It goes by fast. This week at Reuben's funeral, I saw a lot of young people in their 20s that knew Reuben, that had their foundation in this church, in the Christian school. And I was talking to some of these young people in their 20s, and they were telling me, "Pastor, it's just gone by so fast. Look where I am right now. I can't believe it. I'll be through my 20s and into my 30s. I just can't believe it. Wait till you where I am. It just goes like that." Peter knew that. He knew his ministry was temporary. And do you know your time with your kids is temporary? Your time in this church is temporary. Your opportunities are temporary. My opportunities are temporary. And we need to use our time very valuable and count it very valuable. I said to my Sunday school class this morning, you know what the most valuable thing we have in life? It's not money. It's not this or that. Matt, what is it? Time. You can lose money and get it back, but there are no do-overs in life. I was talking about to one of our young people at the funeral, and they were saying, "I just wish I could go back when I was in high school. I wish I could go back and be at Revival Baptist Christian School." Unfortunately, there are no do-overs in life. But you know what? You can start right now and live for God. You can take right now and invest your time. The Bible says in Ephesians, redeeming the time. That means rescuing the time from what the devil wants, from what your flesh wants, from what the world wants, which is to waste your time. Don't just choose the good. Choose what's best for your time. And that is so important, and so you need to realize your opportunities are temporary, and you need to use those opportunities. Notice verse 13, he says, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You know what? If you do not remember the things that you've been taught, you're going to lose them. You either use them or lose them. I had a young person that said to me, "I'm leaving your school, I'm leaving the church, Pastor, but I'm going to stay with the standards that you've taught us." They left the school, they left the church, and they left the standards. You say, why? Because they were not stirred up by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. You need the remembrance. You need it where we all are tending to wander and to stray, and we need to be reminded. And that's what he's saying in verse 13. I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's why our young people are going to the Young Fundamentalist Conference in Mark. They're going to get stirred up by preaching and teaching and the music to remember the things that are precious decisions that they have made. That's why we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday. Not only to learn something new, but to be stirred up concerning what we've already learned, so we don't lose it. Use it or lose it. I'd rather use it than lose it. Are you doing that, friends? You see, we're talking tonight about why your pastor should keep reminding you. Because to fail to remind you is pastoral negligence. Because the opportunities of pastoring are temporary. And I realize I need to take advantage of the opportunity. And verse 14 says that, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Boy, I remember going to pastor school in 1986 with Dr. Jack Hiles. I remember Dr. Jack Hiles, he was getting to be 70 years old. And he was thinking about, I'm not going to be here forever. And we would go to pastor school and he'd put chairs out. And men were in those chairs. Then he'd put an empty chair. And he said, that empty chair represents me when I'm no longer here. And he was concerned to stand for the King James Bible. He was concerned to stand for old-fashioned confrontational soul winning. He was concerned to emphasize the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, because he did that, do you think that helps me to keep that in mind? Yeah. And you know what? I realize he died at 74 years of age. He had a heart attack, departed. I don't know if it's going to be a heart attack with me. I tend to think it would be hurtling down a highway as my driving like Jehu drives and being taken out. I don't know. People say you're healthy. Yeah, you can die healthy. Right? Listen, none of us are here forever. None of us are here forever. Therefore, we don't want to waste time. If Reuben were here, say, don't waste time. You get with that foundation that you've got, because the opportunities of pastoring are temporary. And your opportunities to take advantage of a pastor like this is temporary. So why your pastor should keep reminding you? Because to fail to do so would be negligence, and because the opportunities of pastoring are temporary. The last thing, I'll finish up. Because pastoral success is shown in reproducing yourself. Look what it says, and I'll read that verse. Verse 15 is our last verse. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. You see, Peter was concerned that after he was gone, the truths that he was giving them would last. By the way, that's why it's good that he wrote, right? It's good to write. And he wrote these things, and that's a way to make sure that you have these things in memory after you're gone. Here's another thing that will help you. By the way, let me say this, that he had a prophecy in John's Gospel, chapter 21, that he would not be here, that he would die before the rapture. They thought John was going to be here till the rapture, but John wrote and corrected that. He said, no, the Lord never said that. He just said, if it's my will that John be here till the rapture. But it wasn't his will. But Peter thought, well, John's going to be here till the rapture. I definitely know I'm going to be gone before the rapture. By the way, people say that there can be no prophecy before the rapture fulfilled. Peter proves that's a lie, because the Lord gave him a prophecy and said, you are going to die before the rapture. And the Bible has a number of prophecies leading up to the rapture. And so I'm just saying that Peter, listen to me, Peter, he knew that he needed to reproduce himself. And let me just say something. The Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. But it's not just a marathon race, it's a relay marathon. You run your race and you pass it off to somebody else. You know, one of the great things of a great man of God, you could disagree with me, I'll let you, but I think Dr. Jack Hiles was a great man of God.
Yes.
He called himself a Big Mac. You know what a Big Mac is? Something you can just reproduce. The McDonald brothers just kept franchising Ray Kroc franchised what McDonald's brothers did in California. He made it all over. Now listen, I want to make what I do people can do when I'm not here. Soul winning and King James Bible and the things that are good, they can just do them and keep doing them because it works. It's God's way. And so you need, in order to do that, listen to me, you need not only to preach and teach, but to reproduce yourself. And you can do that as a believer if you would lead somebody to the Lord. You get them baptized like you got baptized. You get them in soul winning like you got out in soul winning. And you get them to do what you do. Reproduce yourself. That way, when you go, you're leaving something behind. And here's what God says to preachers. 2 Timothy 2:1-2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know what? Sometimes when I preach, people don't like my preaching. And they'll try to talk me out of it. Good luck. It ain't happening. Right, Brother Joe? You've seen it. They've tried it for a while. Brother Joe's laughing. Brother Bob, you preached. Anybody ever try to talk you out of what you preached when you were in this church? Or try to correct your preaching or change it? Sure. Sure. Those guys are not going to succeed. They need to build something themselves.
Right.
Now, we know. My thing is to invest, listen to me, in faithful men who will listen to me, who will benefit by what I'm saying, and will be able to reproduce it. Just like I did the good things I got from Charlie Ware. Like what I'm preaching tonight on 2 Peter. That's what I'm investing in. You say, where do you get that? 2 Timothy 2:1-2. That's why we have our pastor's college on Tuesday night. We don't want to farm that out. I'm just saying, none of us can be here forever. But we want to reproduce what we've learned in your life. So if you're a young person, you're valuable. Because you can live on when older people are gone. But when you live on, are you going to produce what they gave you? Or are you going to waste it? So tonight, the message is, the name of the message is, why your pastor should keep reminding you of these things. Because to fail for me to do that would be negligence on my part. And for you to fail to take advantage is negligence, laziness on your part. Because the opportunities that we have are temporary. Value your time. And lastly, because pastoral success is shown if it's reproduced in other lives. And your success is not just you getting a good benefit, but reproducing what you've learned in others. May God help us to grow in grace and be productive in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and we've been talking